Hello everyone, I'm Harry Bucknell. Thank you for downloading this podcast from The Oldie. One of the positives to come out of the pandemic is the harnessing of digital technology to stay in touch. It has proven a lifeline to most of us, and it is the same technology that the performing arts are embracing to ensure that the joy of live performance is now more widely available than ever before in the comfort of our own homes. I caught up with my old friend Pete Harrison, guest conductor of the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, and the singer Laura Tebbutt, to talk about the BSO's popular Christmas concerts, now in their fifth decade, which can be streamed live from the Poole Lighthouse on Saturday the 19th of December, or downloaded for enjoyment later. We started with the rare sighting in 2020. Some good news.
I should probably tell you, we've got some really good news, by the way. We can get an audience in. We have just been told that the tier that Bournemouth is going to be in, I think, is tier two, which means that we can actually get live audiences in, which means that Laura and I and the orchestra will be doing two concerts. We'll be doing the matinee in front of a live audience only, not streamed. The evening concert is in front of live audience and streamed as well. So that's the good news. So people are able to buy tickets to both concerts now, as well as tickets to the live streamed part of it, which is the evening only.
I have to start off, Pete, by saying that, you know, Kirill Karabits, the wonderful chief conductor from Ukraine for the BSO for the last 12 years, he must feel always a slight element of nervousness as he hands over this highly tuned, world-acclaimed orchestra for you to throw around the auditorium like a sports car at Le Mans 24. How does that feel to you?
It's always an honour and a great privilege to take over the baton from Maestro Kirill, because he does a wonderful job there. But I think he's the first to admit that he's happy doing his classical side and leaving the lighter Christmas side, film side, etc. to me. And I always look after the orchestra, of course, and hand them back in one piece. So far so good. But a joy to work with them. They are a top orchestra, whether they're playing straight classical repertoire as part of the very successful season that BSO have got running at the moment. Even during this horrible lockdown time, they were able to make sure that the hall, they've doubled the size of the stage so they can perform safely. They've got very good ventilation within the hall, which allows air in from underneath and gets sucked out the top. The players can be distanced enough, and they were able to stream, have the technology to be able to stream the concerts. So whatever the lockdown conditions are, it means that we can have concerts going on. So if you like, they've made them absolutely bulletproof. They will happen whatever, be it streamed. And when you can get live audiences in, as we've just been told we will be able to for this Christmas concert, then the show will go on, as they say.
That is great news. How does the sound of a concert, of an orchestra that is socially distanced, how does that sound in comparison to normal, should we say?
You know, I think there's a bit more clarity in some way in it. The orchestra spent about 3 weeks getting used to their new positions, because normally you get the violins or the strings sitting in pairs, each sharing one music stand, so they're quite close to each other. The wind players will all be reasonably close to each other, so they can hear, they can see, they can feel each other playing. A lot of the time we rely as wind players on the breath and just gently showing what we're doing as players. But suddenly to go, I think, 3 meters apart, whatever their setup, I know the wind players in particular found that a real struggle. String players as well. Suddenly, if you think about where the furthest back of the first violin is going to be on the left as you look at the stage compared to where the furthest back of the double bass is, I think last measured it's about 12 miles. So that's quite a long way to go just to try and hear each other. But within the 3 weeks that they were working together, they just got used to it. And it does mean listening, which is what we all have to do as musicians anyway, but it was a new level of listening for them. And my gosh, they make it work. And there is, I think, a new clarity to the sound. So it'd be very interesting to see what happens after all this, when we are all safe to sit back again, as we were. Will we keep a bigger stage space there? Will the orchestra have an element of more distance where possible? I don't know. It all depends on venues as well. I know some of the venues the orchestra play in are Exeter has got a much smaller stage, which has its advantages as well as disadvantages, and the noise levels for the musicians, that's an important thing these days as well. So, yeah, we'll see.
Great stuff. I've just been told I've gone unstable, which is nothing new there. The BSO's Christmas proms date back nearly over 50 years. What was the start? How did it all come about, you know?
I think they just needed within the Christmas season, yes, a traditional carols, Baroque type Christmases, but I think that they felt the need for something a little bit lighter. And of course, the first person who really took this concert and made it his own was the wonderful British composer and arranger, Ron Goodwin, who, I'm chasing desperately. I've got about 10 years under my belt now doing these concerts. Ron did it for 32 years, which was amazing. A lot of his own compositions, a lot of his own orchestrations and arrangements of pieces, which we still love to feature in this concert as a great tribute to him. He was an absolute a devotee of the orchestra. The audience loved him, the orchestra loved him. So it's lovely to be able to feature some of his music in these concerts. Because we call it last night the proms or Christmas crackers. It's had various titles, but the point being, what we try and do, you know, the traditional last night the proms, the first half maybe is a selection of classical music, maybe it reflects the times or events or the conductor or whatever's going on, or the orchestra. So our second half, we always finish with the same, wish it could be Christmas every day, White Christmas, rocking around, Merry Christmas everybody, these kind of things. So, but the first half is a lovely opportunity to explore some of the music theatre world, some of the film world, a little bit popular music, and also to reflect the music that maybe our guest singer or singers like to do, reflecting their career, or maybe there's a particular party piece they've got that they'd like to bring in and perform with us. I want our audiences to come in and go, do you know, I don't know this piece, but isn't it wonderful? Or, oh, I love this piece, I haven't heard it for ages. So that's our byline, music to make you smile.
On the byline of music to make you smile, Ron Goodwin was, of course, quite a mischievous fellow. When you walk out onto the rostrum at the Paul Wright House, do you feel that his presence is all around you?
I do, to an extent, yes, because I love the way he presented concerts. I love the gags, the tricks, the stories he got up to. I try not to talk quite as much as Ron did, because much as the audience loved his stories, they could go on quite a long time. I know the audiences that remember those concerts still. Whenever I say our next piece is by Ron Goodwin, we always get a great big cheer, because he was very popular with audiences there. So yeah,
of course, we have got a recording now of Ron Goodwin's Jingle Bells. Pete, you better just give us a little introduction to it.
Always a firm favourite with the orchestra. This is Jingle Bells.
Symphony Orchestra under the baton of my guest Pete Harrison.
It is easy to forget that an orchestra is a living, breathing thing. How have the many talented musicians found this last year, do you think?
But the orchestra have looked after themselves wonderfully. We had 3 weeks once we knew this was going to happen. The management have looked after the orchestra so well, and the lighthouse is still going, and they've been able to help with the extension of the stage. So the players knew they were coming back. We had 3 weeks getting them used to this new setup, this new situation, the new layout of the orchestra, and getting used to what it sounded like. And so they were ready for their first concert of the season, and we'll be more than ready for our Christmas concert in a couple of weeks' time now. So
we have touched briefly on the programme. I know there were some favourites. We talked about Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride, tell us a bit about some of the other numbers on the programme for the night. I know there's a world premiere too.
There is a world premiere. Very excited about that. Yes. I'll start at the beginning. A good place to start. We've got a lovely Christmas overture by British composer Nigel Hess, who probably best known for his music for Ladies in Lavender from the film There. Then we tuck into introducing our fantastic soloist for the evening, the lovely Laura, who is going to be doing Defying Gravity from Wicked. And then a bit of Cole Porter, Always True to You, before we get to then this world premiere. It's by the very great British composer, Adam Saunders. He's an absolute gentleman. He was delighted to make the music available to us. And our friendship and working relationship has grown ever since. And it was chatting to him one day, I said, these pieces you've given us have been wonderful. I'd love to get a new piece to premiere with Bournemouth for a Christmas concert. And his eyes lit up. And when Adam's eyes light up, you know you're in trouble. So he got busy and he's come up with this great new piece called Journey to Lapland. And delighted to say that Adam and family will be able to join us now that we can get audience as well. So he will hear the afternoon concert, which will be the first time this will be performed live in the UK. So written specially for and dedicated to us. A great honour to be able to do that. So very excited.
Kingdom, performed by the BSO in the 2017 Last Night of the Christmas Proms, conducted by Pete Harrison and written by the talented Adam Saunders, whose Journey to Lapland will be premiered on Saturday the 19th of December at the BSO's forthcoming Christmas Crackers concert.
Now, come on, it is my great pleasure to welcome all the way from Lichfield in the Midlands, Laura Tebbutt, who's come fresh off, I'd like to say fresh off the stage from School of Rock, but actually I'd be telling a big fib there. Laura, how are you? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm very well, thank you.
Now, this is the first time you've been involved in anything musical since you were laid off on the 1st of March. It must have been a very hard few months for you.
Yes, it has. I mean, in a way, I was very fortunate because School of Rock, the show that I'd been in for 18 months up until March the 1st, actually closed anyway of its own accord. It was closing to bring in Andrew Lloyd Webber's new show, Cinderella. So on March the 1st, we had all the... It closed like it would have done anyway. You know, we had a big party. We had a real sort of a closure to it. So I was very fortunate in that way because a lot of my friends and colleagues in other shows... were cut short, so they didn't have, you know, their shows are still meant to be running. So yes, on March the 1st, I finished School of Rock, and I intended to have a couple of months off before starting a new contract in May. However, this all happened, and my contract in May has been postponed indefinitely. And since then, I've moved out of London, I've moved back to Lichfield, and I've done a couple of bits and pieces, but nothing on stage, all studio work. Session vocals, things like that, but even that's been few and far between. So this will actually be my my return to the stage, for the first time since March the 1st. So it's a little bit frightening.
Well, let's hope it is the start of a run of good luck for you and all your colleagues in this great profession, which we all love and miss so much. Having not been on stage for so long, I presume, therefore, the streets of Lichfield have been serenaded by your voice as you sing and practice day by day. Is this the case?
Do you know what? It's actually not. when you don't have anything to work towards, it is very difficult to practice and keep the kind of joy and love for it. It's been a very difficult time for a lot of people in this industry, and I think it's hard to want to sing, to want to do it. But also the problem is, unlike an instrument, the larynx is a muscle. So knowing that I have this concert coming up, of course you have to get back on it, if you will, because I could turn up there and there'd be no sound come out. So it's actually been a great thing for me to work towards, like Pete was saying, because I have to get the muscle working again, especially for the vocal gymnastics that I'm required to do for this Christmas concert. This is probably the longest I've ever been without singing in my entire life. But as it's coming up to Christmas, I have started to do some vocal exercises again. So just vocal warm-ups that I did with my teacher when I was in School of Rock, things like that, just to get it up and running. I mean, obviously talking means that it's you're fine and it's still working, but it is a different part of the muscle that you're using when you're getting up to those kind of stratospheric heights required for singing.
In amongst all this, one of the challenges that we face, of course, is the inability to rehearse. So you can't get real time with Pete until probably you walk on stage. How has that been a challenge for you? How is that a challenge for you?
Well, the good thing is, obviously, Pete's able to send me the music, which I can read, and we can talk through over Zoom or, you know, over WhatsApp or whatever. So there's that aspect of it. There's also the potential, if needed, of meeting up socially distanced, the two of us and a pianist, perhaps, to go through the material. But the material that I'm doing is stuff that I'm certainly familiar with, not that I've sang all those pieces in public before. I certainly haven't, but we will, of course, I can look over it all myself, ask any questions, and then the day before we can have a rehearsal then. And so it is a problem, but it's not, you know, Zoom is helpful for things like that.
From Defying Gravity to Cole Porter, which number are you particularly looking forward to performing?
I really, really enjoy the Mariah Carey All I Want for Christmas Is You, because obviously it can only be brought out once a year. So I do enjoy doing that, and it's a real vocal challenge. Also the musical theatre, I've performed Defying Gravity to an audience before, but I haven't performed Always True to You. And I was a part of Kiss Me Kate. I did the John Wilson prom at the Royal Albert Hall a few years ago, and I didn't play that part in the production, so I'm going to be very excited to get to sing that in front of an audience, because it's a fantastic piece.
You're going to walk out on stage to that wonderful auditorium at the Lighthouse and Pool with the orchestra behind you. What will you feel?
Grateful. I'll be very grateful to be there. I'm very aware of a lot of people that have had, even today, you know, with this new these new rules coming out, a lot of people have worked very hard who've had their jobs taken away from them today. And I think I'll just be very grateful and very present and very nervous, but I'm really, really looking forward to it. It will just be such a pleasure and a real privilege, especially with live musicians. I think it will be a really, really special event.
You must enjoy, Pete, the opportunity to conduct the BSO Christmas Crackers, because they're such fun.
Doing these Christmas concerts is such a variation of things, from Cole Porter style, which is very different style from Stephen Schwartz, say, with Defying Gravity from Wicked. It's a very different style, as is Ron's music as well. So, you know, the orchestra know what they're doing with Peanut Vendor. I think they even start it without me these days. You know, I'm normally off at that point when they kick off. And that's the spirit of these concerts. You know, it's a chance to let hair down before Christmas and enjoy ourselves.
Laura, of course, are you able to hint even at what you have lined up to keep the audience and the orchestra going in the second half?
Well, I have bought two new gowns because 'tis the season. So, yes, I can see them from where I am now, and they're not subtle. I'll just say that. They're extremely sparkly and quite tasteless.
The BSO, of course, we forget, which is easy to overlook in this conversation, is a world-class orchestra. What's the programme for 2021?
2021, they've got a, I know a, they're planning another season, much along the lines as ones they've done at the moment, which of course had to be under the strictest conditions with lockdown. So they were just conscious of the size of orchestras. You can't do things with triple winds, lots of percussion, simply because we couldn't get everybody on stage. That's the sad thing about it. But as I say, they've been fantastic about keeping going, and they made, I love the fact they made their concerts fairly bulletproof, if you see, in that it, whatever the conditions were, the work conditions were safe, and they could do the streaming so that the programmes could carry on. I know we are planning a few things for next year. We've got, we're doing another one of our wonderful ABBA concerts in February, which, fingers crossed again, will be with an audience, depending on the conditions. I'm hoping all these vaccines now that are looking hopeful, we might be at a stage of relaxing the lockdown so we can get more people in, but it certainly will be streamed. I know that I've got one of my lovely film concerts with them again in March time, which we've got to be careful with that as well, about the size of orchestra. Film scores have often enormous orchestras with big brass sections and big percussion again and keyboards and all sorts of things. But for this one, we're going to have to be a little bit gentle, but there's still plenty of really good film stuff out there. So it's a lovely combination of two slightly more commercial things, I suppose, but along with I believe is yet to be announced, that it's not far off the next season being announced. So do keep an eye on the BSO Live website to see for when that gets announced. And the tickets are available for, it's only £6 if you buy one off for the streaming, or buy one for the whole season, it becomes even cheaper. We can all wrestle with our technology as we learn how to get this on our telly and watch it that way, which I've just about mastered now. And it, I say, they look and sound fantastic. They've got a great team behind them to make all that work with both the recording and the cameras side of it as well. So yeah, they've done just an amazing job to keep going. And I love the fact they've just made it bulletproof. They will always be there doing whatever the conditions are. I say, fingers crossed, the conditions now will ease, lighten off, and we will be able to get back to doing what we do, and audiences be able to get back to doing what they do.
Of course, one of the upsides, if there is an upside to this year, is the fact that now these concerts are available online and can be viewed. How do you think that might change the face of live performance going forward?
I think I pretty much finish all of my concerts by thanking the orchestra, thanking the audience, and saying there is nothing like the sight and sound of a real orchestra playing, because simply there isn't. Watching them play, hearing them play, you feel the sound more than you would do watching on a telly or on headphones or on a computer screen. So, but I just hope it opens it up to more people. And the fact that it's then available for longer afterwards is, I think, great, because that just means that you're not tied to one particular time to be able to do this. I don't know about you guys, but I don't really watch TV live these days. It's all on, oh, the new series of such and such. I'll do it on catch up. I'll do it on whatever else instead. So yeah, I hope this will be a similar thing. And you know, the more people we can open up this music to of all forms, the better for me.
And of course, it is a jolly good fun night, and we all need a bit of a lift this time of year, especially this year of years. Well, to Laura, thank you so much, my dear, for coming all the way to us live from Lichfield. It has a ring to it already on the podcast. and Pete, always, thank you too.
To Laura Tebbutt, Pete Harrison, and the great BSO, Break a Leg. Tickets for Christmas Crackers, which takes place at the Lighthouse in Poole on Saturday the 19th of December, are available either to attend in person, to stream or download from bsolive.com. It would be remiss of me not to thank the BSO's lovely Anthony Brown, who is in charge of these things, for the music and his blessing. In signing off, the last word goes to Pete Harrison, and a little bit of mischief arranged by who other than the great Ron Goodwin. As in their fine Christmas tradition, the BSO whisks us away, not to Bethlehem, but Havana.
Christmas doesn't start until we hear the BSO doing the Peanut Vendor. So as always, we will be finishing with that great piece by Ron. That's how he always finished his Christmas concerts, and we've kept that little tradition alive for him as well.
with editing by Michael Stiglianu. This has been a Gamekeeper production for the Odie. Thank you for listening. Laura, when you go on that stage, enjoy every minute of it. It's going to be great.